We read the scripture tonight in Deuteronomy 18. We'll read verses 15 through 22. This is Moses speaking. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desiredst of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. We read that far. We consider tonight the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12. We will consider this Lord's Day in three sermons. First, treating the office of prophet. Secondly, the office of priest. And thirdly, the office of king. Tonight, we consider the office of prophet. Yet, we will read the entire Lord's Day. Why is he called Christ, that is, anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. But why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. In this second article of our Christian faith, beloved, we confess, I believe in Jesus Christ. That is, I believe in Jesus, and I believe that He is the Christ. I believe that He is the Messiah. That is, I believe He is the Anointed One. That is the meaning of the name Christ, or Messiah. We confess in the second article of our faith that we believe that Jesus is the Christ. We confess that over against the Jews, both the ancient and the modern Jews. We confess that over against the Mohammedans, the followers of Islam, both ancient and modern. And we confess that over against all non-Christians, all those who deny that Jesus is the Messiah. But we confess this with the Church of Jesus Christ of all ages, including the Apostle Peter, who, when asked of Jesus, said in John 6, verse 69, "We believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." We too believe that Jesus is that Christ, that Messiah, the Son of the living God. He is the Anointed One. Anointing was a ceremony in the Old Testament in which oil was poured over the head of a man in order to signify that God had chosen him, that God had authorized him, and that God was now qualifying him by His Spirit to function in a particular office. An office is a position in the Church and Kingdom of God in which a man has the authority and the qualification from God through the Spirit to serve both God and God's people in a particular function, whether prophet, priest, or king. The name Messiah means Anointed One. When we say, "I believe Jesus is the Christ," we are saying, "I believe Jesus is the Anointed One." Not an Anointed One, but the Anointed One. Not a prophet, but the prophet. Not a priest, but the priest. Not a king, but the king. I believe Jesus is the one whom God promised to send in the Old Testament times. I believe Jesus of Nazareth is that Christ, the one who is ordained of God the Father, and the one who was anointed by God the Holy Spirit at His baptism, when the Spirit came down upon Him in the form of a dove, anointing Him, qualifying Him to serve in the office of prophet, priest, and king. We confess in this second article of our faith that we believe Jesus is that Christ. Tonight we consider just one aspect of His office as the Messiah, the office of prophet. We focus our attention upon that office and notice what is His office and work as our prophet. But as the Catechism also does, we will also see what is our work as prophets. The Catechism in this Lord's Day not only inquires about the work of Christ as Christ, but also it inquires into our work, the work of Christians as Christians. We will see that we too are partakers of His anointing, that we too are prophets, and that we too have work to do as prophets. Let's consider together this Lord's Day, part one, under the theme, Faith in Christ, Our Prophet. Notice in the first place His identity as our prophet. In the second place, His work as our prophet. And in the third place, our calling as prophets. We believe Jesus is our prophet, the prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is one who is authorized and qualified by God to speak the word of God, to reveal the secret counsel and will of God to His people. That's a prophet. A prophet is an anointed one. Not only priests were anointed with oil in the Old Testament, not only kings were anointed with oil, but also prophets were anointed with oil. In 1 Kings 19, verse 16, God said to Elijah the prophet, quote, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." End quote. A prophet too is an anointed one. Elijah poured the oil over the head of Elisha, anointing him to be prophet. A prophet too is qualified and authorized by God, and his peculiar work is to speak the word and will of God. Now the work of a prophet is first of all to know the word of God and to come to know that word. And a prophet therefore is first qualified by the Spirit by giving him the ability to know the word and will of God. A prophet does not come to know the word and will of God, however, by his own efforts. He does not come to know it by reason, by logic, by philosophy, by science, or by guesswork, or by mystical experience. But a prophet comes to know the word and will of God by revelation. God reveals it to him. That's the only way. The only way a prophet can know the word and will of God, and the only way he can come to know it, is by God revealing it to him. In Numbers 12, verse 6, God said to Aaron and Miriam, quote, "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." End quote. And God said through the prophet Amos in Amos 3, verse 7, quote, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets." End quote. God revealed his word and his will to the prophets, and in that way he made known to them his word and his will. A prophet is first of all one who knows God's word and who knows God's will. Prophet knows the word and will of God regarding the present and regarding the future. He knows it in regard to the gospel, in regard to the comfort of God's people, and in regard to the judgment upon the ungodly and the unbelieving. The prophet brings the word of God, which he knows. That first of all. Secondly then, a prophet is one who speaks that word. A prophet does not remain silent about what he knows, but a prophet speaks. A prophet does not speak with timidity or with fear, but a prophet speaks with boldness and courage and authority. A prophet does not come saying, "This is my word, this is my opinion," but a prophet comes saying, "Thus saith the Lord. This is what Jehovah says to you." A prophet speaks, and he speaks with boldness, because God qualifies him and gives to him the ability to speak the word which he comes to know. The prophet Jeremiah was worried about that aspect of speaking, but God said this to him in Jeremiah 1, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." But then Jeremiah responds to God and says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." But God said to him, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." A prophet is one who comes to know the word and will of God, and who is also qualified to speak that word and will of God to the people. That's a prophet. Now we believe that Jesus of Nazareth is our prophet. We believe that Jesus is the prophet, the Christ prophet, who was promised by God from long, long ago. That promise is found in the passage which we read in Deuteronomy 18, the great promise of the great prophet. In this passage, God promises in verse 15 to raise up unto Israel a prophet from the midst of her, like unto Moses. And he says that unto him you must hearken. In verse 18, he says, I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. God also promises, I will put my words in his mouth. I will cause him to know my word. I will reveal to him my word, and I will put my word in his mouth. He will know the word and will of God. He promises furthermore, he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. He shall speak. He shall not be silent, but he shall come speaking and preaching and prophesying the word which I give him to know. God also promises in verse 19, that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And as Peter makes plain in Acts 3, where he quotes this passage, when God says, I will require it of him, he means to say, I will destroy him. Whoever will not hear the words of this my prophet, whoever will not hearken to those words, whoever will not obey those words, whoever will not believe those words, him I will destroy. This was the promise of the great prophet who was to come. Now the children of Israel were aware of this promise throughout the Old Testament, throughout the history of the Old Dispensation, and they were constantly looking for the coming of this prophet. They looked, they saw, they heard Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. They listened, they saw, they heard Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi. But none of these men turned out to be that prophet. None of these men turned out to be the great promised prophet. They were prophets, but not the prophet. But then John the Baptist came. And he went out into the wilderness and preached. And he was a great prophet. And he baptized the people in the Jordan River. And he proclaimed, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Jews sent out an embassy to John in the Jordan and asked him in John 1 verse 21, art thou that prophet? But John said, no, I am not that prophet. Immediately after John came Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary, raised in the town of Nazareth. And he came preaching. But the Jews crucified him on the cross, and they rejected him. He may have been that prophet, but they rejected him as that prophet. However, there were those who believed that he was the prophet. The early church and the apostles believed that Jesus was that prophet. And in Acts 3, Peter stands up in the midst of the temple after healing the lame man and declares to them that he did not perform this miracle, but Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who now sits in heaven, he performed it, and it was in his name that I performed it. And then he said this in Acts 3, verse 22 and following, Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, of your brethren like unto me. Him ye shall hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass, that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Peter declared to the Jews in the temple, the one whom you crucified, the one whom you attached to the cross, the one whom you murdered. He was the prophet. He was the great prophet. He was the one whom God promised long ago. He was the fulfillment of the Scriptures. The one of whom Moses spoke. This was the one about whom God said, if you do not hear Him, if you do not listen, if you do not hearken, if you do not obey, you will be destroyed. Peter preached with urgency to them. Repent and be converted, he said to them. And believe on Jesus the prophet. We believe in Him as the prophet. We said so tonight in the Apostles' Creed. I told you to confess that not only with your mouth, but from the heart. I hope you did so. I believe in Jesus Christ. What do you mean? What does that mean? It means I believe that Jesus is that prophet. I believe it. I believe it. Others may not believe it. Others may reject Him. Others may crucify Him. But I believe it. He is that prophet. I hear Him speak to me. He is my shepherd. He is my great teacher. I hear Him speak to me. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus the Messiah. I believe in Jesus the Anointed One, my prophet. You say that, beloved? You believe that in your heart? Of course you do. You said so tonight. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the prophet. What is His work as the Christ? And particularly, what is His work as the prophet? In the first place, the work of Jesus as our prophet is to know the Word and will of God. Or in the words of the Catechism, to know the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Jesus knows the Word and will of God. Jesus does not know the Word and will of God so much because God revealed it to Him. That was the case in the Old Testament prophets. But Jesus did not know the Word of God so much because God revealed it to Him. Oh, it is true. In His human nature, He did not know that Word of God. And in His human nature, that Word had to be revealed to Him. God had to reveal to the mind of Jesus, of His human nature, His Word and His will, His secret counsel. Nevertheless, it is also true that in Jesus' divine nature, He is omniscient. In His divine nature, He knows all things. He knows everything. He's God. He knows the Word of God. He knows the secret counsel of God. He knows the mysteries of the mind of God in all of their depths and all of their breadths. He knows the Word and will of God. And not only that, but He knows the Word of God because He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. Inasmuch as He knows Himself, He knows the Word of God. He is the content of that Word. He is the content of that speech. He is the Word of God. He is the message of Scripture. He is the only message of the prophets. He is the message which He speaks. He is the Word of God from eternity unto eternity. And He is the Word of God also in time and in history. He is the revelation and the image of the invisible God. He knows the Word of God in all of its fullness in regard to the past and present and future. He knows the Word of God. In the second place, the work of Jesus as our prophet is to speak that Word. Jesus came to the world as a prophet. He did not remain silent about the Word of God, which He was and which He knew. But He spoke. he preached. Nor did he merely speak to his family and to his friends in Nazareth, but he went out into Galilee and into Judea and into Samaria and into Decapolis and Perea, and he preached to the Jews and to the Gentiles and to the Samaritans. As a prophet he came, speaking that word of God and declaring, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I am the Christ. I am that prophet." He came preaching himself. He came as Christ, preaching Christ. He did not preach with timidity. He did not preach with fear. But he preached with boldness. And he preached with courage. And he preached with authority, so that the Jews said about him, "He is not like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He preaches with authority. He preaches with power. He preaches with boldness." As a prophet, he came preaching. He preached parables. He preached sermons. He preached discourses. He preached expositions of Scripture in the synagogues. He preached sermons on the end times and on the signs of the end of the world. He preached Christ. He preached himself as the King of the kingdom of God. But he not only preached with his mouth, he also preached by his deeds. Nor did he merely preach by his miracles, by healing the sick and casting out demons, but he preached primarily through his death, through his suffering and death on the cross. There, more than anywhere else, Jesus functioned as our prophet. He spoke at the cross. And I do not refer merely to the 7 crosswords, "I thirst, it is finished, Father, into thy hands I yield my spirit," and so forth. But I refer to his action of laying down his life on the cross. That act, by that act, he spoke. He prophesied to us. He revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God regarding our redemption. He revealed to us, "This is the counsel and will of God for you, that I should die for you, that I should lay down my life for you, that I should suffer for your sins, that I should be forsaken of God for you. That's my work. I reveal it to you." He made it known to us. He revealed the counsel of God for us concerning our redemption. "I have come to do the will of God, to satisfy His justice and His wrath and His anger against your sins. I have come to accomplish redemption for you." He speaks at the cross to you, beloved, and he speaks to me at the cross. Do you hear the voice of your prophet speaking to you from the cross of Calvary, where he hung, where he suffered and died and entered into darkness and hell? "Here I am," he says, "as your prophet. Here I have come. This is God's will, your salvation through my death." He spoke loudly at the cross. But he still speaks today. He still functions as a prophet today. He functioned as a prophet immediately after his resurrection and ascension, and sitting at the right hand of God, for he poured out the Spirit. And there were prophets in the New Testament, in the early church. There were also pastors and teachers, but there were the apostles especially. And through the apostles, Christ spoke. Through the writing of the Scriptures, Christ spoke. The inspiration of the Bible is the speaking of Christ's word to us. But also today, Christ speaks and functions as a prophet. And he does so, beloved, through the minister of the gospel. Christ calls a man to the ministry of the gospel to stand in his place as a prophet. The minister of the word is the representative of Christ as prophet not so much as priest or king, but primarily as prophet. You must be able to see through the physical, material man who stands in the pulpit and see beyond him to Christ, your prophet in heaven. He speaks to you through the faithful ministry of the Word. Christ calls a man to the ministry of the gospel, that first. He works internally in his heart, and then he qualifies him for that work. He qualifies him to know the Word of God and to speak the Word of God. First of all, he calls a man to study so that that man will come to know the Word and will of God. He works in the heart of a man, a young man perhaps, or perhaps a middle-aged man or even an older man. He calls and works in his heart that he might study and come to know more deeply and more fully the Word and will of God found now in the Scriptures. He does not reveal it to him through special revelation, through dreams and visions, through appearances of angels, as in the Old Testament. But now the revelation is in the Scriptures, in the Bible, and God works in a man such that he studies that Word and gives himself to that Word and immerses himself in that Word from cover to cover, comes to know it thoroughly, comes to embrace it, comes to believe it, comes to love it, and have a zeal for that knowledge of God and that Word of God. He calls that man to study, and that man is driven to college to study there. Then he is driven to the seminary to study there, to study and study and study, as the Scripture says, that he might find himself a workman who is approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. God may call some from this congregation. He may call one of you young men or one of you boys. Christ may call you to be a prophet, to stand in his place as his representative in the church. If he calls you to be a prophet, that means you have to know the word of God and the will of God, and you have to know it well. That means you have to give yourself over to the study, the in-depth study and the constant study and the tireless study of the Word and will of God. You have to know it. As a prophet, you must know it. And only knowing it thoroughly and completely and fully can you speak it with boldness and with authority. You must immerse yourself then in the Scriptures, first of all and principally, but also immerse yourself in the Reformed creeds and confessions, which are faithful summaries of the main doctrines of Scripture. And you must immerse yourself in faithful books of theology and dogmatics, commentaries on Scripture. You must read and study and grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. A prophet knows the Word and will of God. To be a representative of Christ, you must know the Word of God and the Word of Christ. No man dare stand before the people of God if he does not know the Word of God. No man dare do so for fear of speaking his own word, for fear of bringing his own opinions and his own ideas. The prophet must know the Word of God. Christ operates through the man whom he calls, whom he gives the knowledge of God. First of all, the minister of the gospel must know the word, and secondly, he must speak it. The minister's primary work is to speak the word of God. In the catechism class, to the children, to the whole congregation here on the Sabbath day in the worship services, and from house to house in personal visitation. The work of the minister is to be a prophet, to speak. The minister must not keep his mouth closed. The minister must not be silent. The minister must not allow what is in his head and heart to remain there, but the minister must speak. The minister has an unction and a calling, an urge to speak, to prophesy, to instruct, and to call out to the people of God, to bring them comfort and to warn the ungodly and unbeliever. That is the work of a prophet. That is the work of the minister of the gospel. And just like the prophets of old, and just like Jesus himself, the minister of the gospel through whom Jesus speaks, must not speak with timidity or fear. As God said to Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces. Do not be afraid of the eyes and faces of the people to whom you speak. You must not be afraid of them. Jesus certainly was not afraid of the faces of those to whom he spoke. He spoke the truth. He spoke the word of God. He spoke it with boldness and with authority. And if it is the word of God, the preacher can speak with boldness and authority. If it is not, what boldness can he have? What authority can he have? None. Not in the church of Christ, maybe elsewhere, but not in the church. But in the church, a minister can and must speak with boldness and authority when he speaks the word of God. And when he speaks the word of God, Christ speaks to us as our prophet. Oh, I don't deny, beloved, it is possible, and it does take place, that a minister can speak an error, a mistake. That surely takes place. And there are times when a minister does speak something which is not God's word, but his own. That happens. Shame on him when he does, if it is deliberate. If it was not deliberate, then he needs to be corrected and shown the error of his way. And he better be willing to admit his error and change his doctrine. That is possible. But when the minister preaches the truth of the word of God, we must hear Christ speak to us. Christ, the prophet. We must hear him. Not just you, but myself too. And that happens more than you can imagine. That the word that is studied and preached is a word that is preached to myself. And that's the minister's prayer too, by the way. Before getting on the pulpit, may I be the first partaker of that word, my Lord Jesus Christ. May I be the first partaker of it. May I hear it first. May it first be spoken to me, to my heart, to my mind, and be applied to my life. And only then to the congregation. Only when it has come into my heart and my mind and my life can it come over to you. That is the work of the preacher. Pray for ministers of the word, beloved. We may be thankful that God has raised up a number of young men in our circles as of late. Quite a number of men, young men, to pursue the ministry of the gospel. Be thankful for that. And pray for those men. And pray for the seminary. And pray that a place may be found for them in the churches too, where they may speak in the place of Christ. But not just the minister of the word is a prophet. You are too. Now we come to our final point tonight. All believers in Christ are prophets. You are prophets. And I am a prophet too, even apart from being a minister. We are prophets. The Catechism says, why are we called Christians? Jesus is called Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, because He is the Christ, the Anointed One. We can never receive the name Christ. But we do bear the name Christian. And that name means you are a believer in Christ, which means you are a member of the body of Christ, which means you are a partaker of the Spirit of Christ, and that means you are a partaker of the anointing of Christ. Christ was not anointed with literal oil, but he was anointed with the Spirit. You and I, beloved, are anointed with that same Spirit. We are Christians. And being a Christian, we are a prophet, priest, and king. And tonight we focus on the office of prophet. You are prophets. That means You as a Christian are authorized by God and qualified by His Spirit to know and to speak His Word. That's what it means. You have authority and you have qualification to know and to speak the Word of God. All of you do. No, you do not have authority, all of you, to proclaim that Word in an official capacity in the church as the minister of the gospel does. Not all are given that authority. The Scripture makes plain that women are not given that authority, although many usurp it today. The Apostle warns in 1 Timothy 2 and elsewhere, I do not suffer a woman to teach in the church, but to remain silent. But nor are any of the men authorized to preach who have not been called thereunto, who have not been called and ordained into the ministry. They are not authorized to preach either. Nevertheless, we all have the authority and qualification to speak His Word in our daily lives. That's what the Catechism means when it says that I might confess His name. We have the authority and qualification to know His Word and to speak it. All of you. You men do. And you women. You young people do. And you children. You elderly do. And you widows do. All of us do. All of us are authorized and qualified to speak His Word in our day-to-day life. That means, first of all, that we have the authority and qualification to know His Word. Do you know it? Do you know it well? Do you study it? Do you read it? Do you have daily devotions in your home? Daily devotions. Do you read the Scripture daily? You do not merely read it, do you? You can't know it if you merely read it or scan it or read it quickly and then shut it again. But you have to read it. And you have to delve into it. And you have to strive to come to know it, do you? Do you study that Word? You are a prophet. You must know it. You must know the Word. You are a prophet. You also read religious periodicals like the Standard Bearer and Beacon Lights and others? Do you read theological books on doctrine, on the Word of God, to strive to grow deeper in your knowledge of the Word of God? Do you? You're prophets. Prophets do not sit around watching TV all day. Prophets do not play video games all day. Prophets are not busy doing everything under the sun for their own pleasure and fun. But prophets need to know the Word. Prophets have to know it in order to speak it. Do you know it? Do you have a passion to study it? Do you know yourself to be a prophet? You're prophets. God has made you prophets. Do you parents help your children with their Bible homework and with their catechism memory work? You make sure that your children too are studying and learning the Word of God, memorizing it, impressing it on their memory, do you? You are prophets. Young ladies and young men and children, do you read things besides novels and superficial books written by worldly people? Well, you may read those things now and then, that's fine. But do you also read deeper things? Things that pertain to the Word of God, things that have to do with the kingdom of God. Do you read that too? You strive to grow in your knowledge of the Word. You're prophets. You're qualified to. Don't tell me you're not qualified to know it. Don't tell me that you're not a deep person or a deep thinker. Oh no. Oh no. There are all different levels. I realize that there's all different levels of knowledge and understanding. That's true. But we all are qualified at one level or another. And we may not use excuses to say that we cannot know it. We cannot grow in our knowledge. Oh no. You can grow. And you must. You are prophets. All of us at our own level. All of us at our own depth. That's true. But we have to put forth effort. If we're not putting forth any effort, there's something wrong with our heart. Prophets also speak. Don't just know it and keep it crammed in your head. Don't just believe it and hold it dear in your heart, that too, but also speak it. We are prophets so that we confess His name, the Catechism teaches. Prophet is one who speaks. You're a prophet. You must speak. Not just ministers speak. You're not all off the hook from speaking. You too must speak. As you have opportunity. Whenever that you have the chance, the opportunity comes up in your life, that's when you speak the Word of God. That's when you confess His name among men, in the workplace, in the college or university classroom. Speak the Word here in the church, in the catechism room, in the Bible society, after church. Speak it in your family, in your home, to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to your friends. Discuss it. Speak it. That's being a prophet. Sometimes our conversations too are so filled up with earthly things that there's never any prophesying of us to one another. We must speak the Word to each other too. And that by way of encouraging each other and comforting each other. Also instructing each other and learning from each other. But also in the world. A prophet must confess and speak also in the world and bear witness of Jesus Christ. We are prophets. You know, beloved, in the Old Testament, the saints could only wish to have the measure of the Spirit that you have. They could only wish it. They could only wish to be prophets. In one incident, there were two men in the camp of Israel named Eldad and Medad. And they received the Spirit from God. And they began to prophesy in the camp of Israel, an unheard of thing. And people were troubled at that. And Joshua came to Moses and said to Moses, "Forbid them! Forbid them! Don't allow them to prophesy!" But Moses said, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them." That's what Moses said. Would God that all God's people were prophets. And then the prophet Joel came, and in Joel 2 verse 28, he prophesied what God's word was. "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." And in Acts 2, Peter says, "Now has the day come. Jesus is ascended. His Spirit is poured out upon all of us. Women, men, children, young people, sons, daughters, we all have the Spirit. We can prophesy." What a shame if now we keep our mouths closed, when in the Old Testament they could only long for the day to have that fuller measure of the Spirit and to prophesy. We have the Spirit of Pentecost. You do. I do. Let us not be afraid of the faces of men. Let us not be timid. And if we are, let us pray for courage. And if we are, let us pray that we might be brave. And let us pray that we might have greater ability to speak. And let us pray that we might speak to each other and prophesy. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. To partake in the anointing of Christ our prophet. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this blessing and gift. What a privilege Thou dost allow us to partake of the anointing of our Savior. Grant, Father, that we might become more and more qualified, that we might come to know the Word more and speak it better. And grant, Father, that we might speak it to each other in the congregation as prophets, and also in the world around us, that others according to thy will, might even be saved through our witness. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.